This is Kate Saffin for Fringe Review, and I'm sitting in College Street outside Brew Lab in Edinburgh talking to Jeremy Nicholas, whose show is called What Are You Talking About? Confessions of a Fairly Professional Speaker. So let's start with what he is, a fairly professional speaker.
Well, it's meant to be just a sort of jokey comment, really, about whether or not I'm very professional or whether or not I earn very much money from it. But it's like a sideways look at the business of public speaking.
And what gave you the thought or the idea of bringing it to the Fringe as a show?
Yeah, so last year was my debut at the Fringe, which was After Dinner Stories from My Disastrous Broadcasting Career. And that was all about being the 11th most famous BBC Jeremy, after Jeremy Clarkson, Paxman, Vine, Bowen, all of those, and some that you can't even think of. And that went really well, and I got lots of after dinner engagements as a result of it. And I thought, I really need to think beyond the Fringe. What would I like from this year? What would I like to get out of it? And I'd like more keynote speaking at conferences. So I started professional speaking in 1994, all about how to communicate, using skills you'd use in broadcasting to make... You must have been at really boring conferences where you think, I wish some of these people would be a bit more like broadcasters. So I teach that, and I thought, right, I would like my show this year for people to come out and go, you couldn't come and teach our people how to be more effective speakers? Oh, yes, I could. So it's like putting the idea in people's heads without actually saying, this is an advert for my... skills as a professional speaker at conferences on communication.
I think that's a really interesting idea, because so often at the Fringe we're so caught up with what we're doing here that not really thinking about what the opportunities beyond it might be. So there's a good lesson in that. So what are some of your most challenging moments in your speaking in the last year? Because the show's only just opened, so you haven't had many challenging moments there yet, but recently.
Yeah, so I did have a challenging moment on my opening night, because the late Amy Winehouse tribute show was a bit later than I thought. That overran slightly, but I think they'd had problems before it. And also I have a little red carpet, like on TED Talks, people stand on a little red round carpet.
Oh, yeah.
And mine failed the flame-proof test, so the venue manager said it's banned from the building. But in real life, when I'm speaking at events, there was one time I was speaking at a conference in Johannesburg, and it was how to use humour in business presentations. And my wife had said to me just before I packed to go to South Africa, you're too fat for your suit, you can't wear that suit. And I said, no, it's my first big gig in Africa, I want to wear this suit. And I remembered her words just as I bent down to plug my laptop, and my trousers split at the back, about 10 inches at the back, just as the guy was saying, please welcome from the United Kingdom with a talk on how to use humour, Jeremy Nicholas. And I came out literally sideways on, like a space invader going backwards and forwards, never turned my back on the audience at all. And eventually I just said to them, look, this has happened, turned around and got a really big laugh. And at the end, I said, are there any questions? And this big bloke stood up and he said, now tell me this, do you always wear those trousers for this talk? Like it was a prop. And I said, no, I'm just too fat for it.
Have you worn them since? Now you know it'll get a good laugh.
No, I haven't. Because it was South Africa, I was going to... I just threw them away, put them in the bin, and then the cleaner in our hotel room came and said, do you mind if I have these? So, because I will take them home and mend them for my husband. And I said, yeah, of course. And then she said, sorry, would you mind just signing this bit of paper to say that you've given them to me? I said, yeah, that's fine. So they were recycled. So somewhere in Africa, there's a man wearing my split trousers.
Oh, did you give him the jacket to go with them?
No, because it was the jacket I got married in.
Oh.
And it still fits. I wear it now with jeans,
I love the way that any of these things just generate a whole lot more stories. Mm. How do you choose the content for something like this? You're telling stories about different bits of being... being out there talking about communications. How did you choose your content for this?
Yeah, so it's a balance between what's going to be useful to people and what is going to be funny for people. So I did 10 previews to get to where I am now, and some of them felt a bit too much like a lecture, and people just sat there sort of nodding and writing things down and smiling, and I thought, no, that's not what I want. No. And so then I tried it without... So the show has slides in, PowerPoint slides, so it looks like a proper businessy type presentation, but they're funny. And then I thought, right, okay, if they think it's too lectury, let's get rid of the slides. So then I did it just as stand-up, really, and they laughed a lot of that, but then I thought, yeah, but that's not going to get me what I want after the Fringe. I don't want to be doing this in stand-up clubs, because it's more storytelling. really what I'm doing. And so the Fringe is an ideal place for it because there is a storytelling circuit, but outside of the Fringe, you know, you can't really make a living from that. So I picked my stories that will... across it, there's like message, funny story about that message. Message, funny story about that message. So there were some messages that I just thought, I haven't really got a personal experience about that. I could tell you about a famous person with that. And I thought, no, I want it all to be personal experience stuff. So what I've done is across the 10 previews, I've religiously recorded them, listened to them in the car or on the tube on the way home, and thought, yeah, that works, that works. And by about show 5, I thought, yeah, I'm beginning to get there now. And then I did it in Singapore at the Asia Professional Speakers Convention, 270 speakers from 28 countries. And I thought, that's a test for humour, isn't it? 28 countries.
Yeah, all with very different humour. Yeah.
And they were all professional speakers, and I was about to lay into speakers and what they do. And what happened was, just about half an hour before I went on, I thought, I think I might have misjudged this because I'm going to just moan about stuff and they're going to hate me. But I got a standing ovation and loads of great testimonials, and I thought, yeah, so I think it's in a good place now. And then I've just had to tweak it for an audience that would like to know more about communication but have no plans to be a professional speaker. They might just speak at work, or, you know, I get people coming on that are going to be a best man at a wedding, or just teachers that want more tips on how to add humour in the classroom.
I think getting more storytelling into all this form of communication, I mean, we know that that's what people remember and how it works, and yet we all get taught to have 3 bullet points on a PowerPoint screen.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that is the big thing about my show. It is stories, and in last year's show, one of the best laughs I got was when I told a true story about being ambushed live on radio by a man who said he had a machine gun. And he claimed he was Jesus, okay? And it's quite a surprising moment in the story. I go into reception to meet someone who says they're Jesus, and I'm just told to get rid of him, and he claims he's got a machine gun, shoves it to my back from underneath his coat, marches me through into the studio, and makes the presenter read out this statement on air. And the audience at this point are looking at me like, oh, this is a bit odd, did this really happen? You know, is this just one of those comedians that's going to tell a made-up story? So I stop it at that point, and say, now, one thing I do need to tell you is all my stories are true, and for that reason, some of them do have quite disappointing endings. And that gets a really big laugh, because it does have a very disappointing ending, because it wasn't Jesus, it was just a bloke.
Yes.
And it wasn't a machine gun in the end, it turns out just to be a metal coat hanger under his thing. And I had a reviewer that said that his review comment was, the problem with Jeremy Nicholas is some of his stories don't have proper endings. And I thought, that's not you reviewing my show, that's my best line that you've taken out of it, and you're using it as a criticism against me. Why have you done that? And then I had another reviewer that I don't even know if they came to the show or if they just read the other review, but they also put that in. I thought, that's my best line. What you haven't said is, brackets, applause, laughter. So I just thought, that's bonkers. But yeah, what I'm really passionate about is that I'd rather have an audience that... So my space holds 117. I'd rather have 20 people that are really passionate about my subject than try and fill it by doing cheap gags and stuff and swear. You know, there's no swearing at all in my show.
Thank you. I thought that sounds fascinating.
What, you like the swearing bit, yeah?
No, not so much the swearing bit. I was just thinking that if you are listening to this and you're in Edinburgh and it's still 2019 Ed Fringe, Jeremy's show runs to the 24th at the Space at Surgeons Hall at 8:25, and sounds like a very nice alternative to a lot of the bigger, more raucous comedy that's going on. So thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you very much. No, lovely chatting to you.
Thank you.